We're glad you guys are here, and whether it's your first time or maybe first time back, we've only got 4 weeks left, including tonight, which is insane. And I say that every week, and the number gets lower, obviously, but it becomes more sad. So we're in the home stretch, only got a month left, and so it's good to see some of your faces that have been back because of baseball and you've been out or other sports or other things that have taken you away. So we're glad that you're here tonight, and you picked a great night to come because we have been over the last couple weeks in a series called The Struggle is Real. And so tonight we're going to be finishing that series up. And over the last couple weeks as part of this series, we've just been trying to deal with topics that you guys are dealing with, talking about very real struggles that you guys face and difficult things. Like 2 weeks ago, we talked about identity and how difficult that is of a struggle for so many of us. And then last week, we talked about depression and anxiety. And something that we talked about for the first time up here and had Hallie come up and share her story as part of that. And like any message that we have, some of you guys don't even know this, but we have our podcast that's on iTunes that you can go back and listen to any week that you want to and the message. So not only just this series that we're in, but other series that we either did last month or even last year. And you can go back and take a look at those. So they're on iTunes. And so if you missed either of those last 2 weeks especially, then I would encourage you to go back and listen to those so that you can get caught up on what we've been talking about. Now, tonight we're going to finish up the series by talking about another significant topic and something that all of us deal with and something that has been asked of me by some of our leaders, even by some of you students. Hey, why don't we talk about this topic? And so we're going to do that tonight. And so we're going to talk about the topic of just peer pressure. Now, I don't know, when you think about peer pressure in general, I mean, it can be a pretty broad thing. There can be a lot of different things that you guys face under that kind of that idea of peer pressure. But if we were going to kind of narrow it down to what would be the most significant struggles or areas of you know, peer pressure that you guys face, you know, it would be things like partying, drugs and alcohol, sex, those kind of things. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. It's going to be kind of all over the place tonight. But as we begin, I want to start by reading an article, all right? And I want you guys to think in your head, do you think that this is a legit article or do you think this is fake news? All right? So here's the article. The article is entitled, "There's Hope. Fewer Teens Are Doing Drugs Than Ever Before." All right, now hold up. Here's what it says. It says, American teenagers are the best behaved they've ever been, drinking and smoking less and doing fewer drugs than their predecessors in more than 40 years of tracking. Even marijuana use is down among 8th and 10th graders, though it's flat among high school seniors. So it says cigarette smoking is down. Even e-cigarette use fell among high school seniors from 16% last year to 12% this year. Alcohol use is also at its lowest level ever. 37% of 12th graders said that they have been drunk at least once, down from a high of 53% in 2001. All right, so real or fake news? You say real. Let me see your hands. You think this is a legit article? All right. You think this is fake news? Let me see you. All right, everybody thinks this is fake news. This is, in fact, a real, legit article. I pulled this out of, this is from December of 2016, so it's not like, you know, 1991 or something. This is December 2016, so just recently, within the last few months, from USA Today, from an organization that has been tracking these statistics and data since 1975. So this isn't like, you know, some dude in his basement going, hey, I'm going to make up some stats and publish it. So this is a legit organization that's been tracking and monitoring these stats. But it feels fake, doesn't it? This feel, when you hear those stats that you guys are the best behaved you've been in 40 years, and that smoking, you know, and drug use and alcohol use, is all of this is down, it feels like fake news. And maybe that speaks into the power of what we're going to talk about tonight in peer pressure, because peer pressure can be so strong that sometimes it feels like everyone is participating in some of those things. And even though the stats look better, according to this organization, to a certain extent, peer pressure is something that all of us face. And all of us, to a certain extent, face that, whether it be on social media or whether it be conversations that we have with our friends, or whether it be with our teammates or in a classroom, that all of us, to a certain extent, even the adults in the room, face some form of peer pressure. And tonight, we're not going to talk so much about, I don't think the issue is, you can't really avoid it. Because you'd have to leave this earth or something in order to avoid peer pressure. So it's not, no matter who we are, you can't avoid it. But the question that we're going to talk through tonight is, what do we do? How do we handle it in those situations when peer pressure may be knocking on our door? So rather than me stand up here for the next few minutes and talk to you guys about it, about don't do drugs and don't smoke, you know, stuff and don't go to parties and things like that, what we thought would be a whole lot more beneficial for you would be to hear from some of your peers and some of the struggles they face and talk through this issue and what they've learned through some of these peer pressures. So I want you guys to welcome to the stage our student panel. Give it up for our student panel. And a student panel sounds like we've got a panel of experts that are up here. So you guys look like experts in your field of study. So I want to introduce you. This is Elena. She's a 12th grader at Hiram. And next to her is Jenna, who is a sophomore at South. And then we got the Bash brothers up here from North Paulding, seniors Jacob and Sawyer. All right, so thank you guys for being here and just sharing a few things. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to toss out some questions to them and let them share some of their experiences and some of their struggles. So first question I'm going to throw out to you guys is, how big for you, how big of an issue has peer pressure been? And then talk about in what ways that's been the case.
All right. So the question was, how big has peer pressure been, like, impacted on our life, correct? And in what ways?
That is correct.
All right, so for me, my problem is, so I have like two group of friends. I have my friends who are pursuing Jesus, and I have my friends who aren't pursuing Jesus. And I'm sure a lot of us, you know, we have friends like that. And when you get mixed up with the ones who aren't pursuing Jesus, and your relationship with God isn't in a stable place, and you're not always growing, and you're not strong enough to minister to them, it's real easy for sin to come into your life and take you down with them. So for me, when I got involved in basketball when I was a freshman, and I played, you know, all throughout high school. My junior year, it was about, I'd say about a six-month time period. And beginning of that stage is when I started getting out of church. I wasn't in my Bible at all. And, you know, I just wasn't having a good walk with Jesus. And when that's happening, you know, you start digging yourself a trench. You start digging it deeper and deeper and deeper. And you surround yourself by people who aren't, you know, keeping you accountable. People who aren't, you know, preaching truth in your life. And it gets hard. It makes you fall the other way. Because, you know, every time you get into a sin, you fall from God. And you keep sinning and sinning and sinning. You're going to get to a point where you're completely away from God. And that was a huge problem for me, was that I wanted to be with my other friends who wanted to party, and, you know, it would seem cool to do stuff with girls and stuff and to party. I mean, that all seemed cool, and for you to get your respect in that group, I mean, you had to do that same stuff. And I got to the point where I was basically, I mean, I'm supposed to be the Christian guy. I'm supposed to be this guy that's trying to lead these people, and I'm not doing that. I wasn't ministering to them at all. And I was the guy who was like, hey, yo, take me to this party. Hey, take me to this party. I was getting to that point in my life and basically just trying to turn on God. I even dabbled a little bit with, you know, females. I mean, I was really falling off. So that's how peer pressure affected me. And yeah.
Okay, is this on? Okay. So I've never personally dealt with the pressure to drink or to do drugs, but a struggle for me has been to try to be that girl that everyone likes, to try so hard to just fit in and to just be like everyone else. But that's not how we're called to live. We're not called to just care what everyone else thinks or to just let what they do affect us in ways that shouldn't affect us, because at the end of the day, it's just between you and God, and it's how y'all stand and what he thinks, not what anyone else thinks or what everyone else is doing, but just between you and God.
So let me ask you this, because I would imagine a lot of girls can relate to that. So what, like, give some specific ways, if you can, of, like, how you felt like I've got to act this way or I've got to do these things to be liked? Like, what did that look like specifically for you?
I feel like one thing we struggle with is trying to, like, let everyone think that you're perfect and, like, try to be just, like, everyone has to think that you don't really have any struggles. And, like, another big impact is, like, through social media, like, we want to just pretend that, like, we have this perfect life and that we don't really have struggles, but, like, that's what we really do. We do have struggles.
All right. So, I think one of the biggest peer pressures in high school is sexual immorality. So that's, like, sex before marriage. And staying abstinent definitely isn't, like, the social norm nowadays, but I think it's worth it. So I'm going to tell you all what the Bible says about sexual immorality. So it's in 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband." So with that being said, the Bible promotes complete abstinence before marriage. So a lot of y'all know, me and Kara, she's in the crowd over there, we've been dating for like a year and a half, almost a year and a half. And a question we get a lot is, do we have sex? And when I tell them no, they either call me a liar or they're like really surprised. So obviously it's like a big social issue. What I see in a lot of my friends' relationships or just people in school, so they'll get in a relationship, and as soon as they get in a relationship, they start having sex, and so it gets to the point where eventually they don't even know if they like or love each other. They just love that lust aspect of the relationship, and so eventually that's just going to fall because you have no structure. And I think one of the big things that why me and Kara's relationship has strived so much is because we put God at the center and at the center of the structure.
Okay, so obviously peer pressure is something that we've all heard about. I mean, we do the DARE program, like, fifth grade, and then all throughout middle school they tell you about, you know, you're going to be offered this and this and this. And for me, I never really, that never happened for me. And I was always like, well, I'll be fine because I've always been strong in the things that I, you know, believe in. And my mom is always telling me, you know, stand on the wall. And that was always something that was easy for me to do. And, until about my sophomore year of high school and up through my junior year, that's when I entered a dark place in my life. And I was looking for things to, you know, fulfill me. And I was going to parties and with things that I thought were fun and things that I thought were worth it. But it was just things that were, I was living for the moment. We talked about on our senior trip, leaving a legacy, and it's not about living for the moment. The things that matter are the things that are going to matter for eternity. The things that matter are the things that we're doing for the glory of God himself. There was one specific night I went to a party simply because I had a fear of missing out. And I had a fear of missing out on, you know, memories that people that I was friends with might have been making or, you know, just something like that. And so I went and someone came inside and was like, the cops are here. And I remember I was standing outside and it was just me. It was just me and a couple other, it was some cops. And they were talking to me, but they were saying discouraging things to me and things that in that dark time of my life was the opposite of what I needed to hear. But there was one that he caught my attention a couple times throughout the conversation I'd had with them, and he stepped up eventually. I've never met this guy. I've never seen him. Haven't seen him since. And he stepped up and was speaking life into me. In that time specifically, I was overwhelmed with so many different emotions, but in that dark time in my life, it was like finally, like, I saw the light. Like, I finally had, I felt like I had a chance. And he just reminded me of how awesome I was and how there are so many different things to live for. And that really just gave me, like, what I needed. And it was awesome just to hear that, because we are truly made for so much more. And God wants to use us for such bigger things.
That's good. All right, so you talked a little bit about your struggle. Talk a little bit about how that may have impacted your own faith, your own relationship with God, maybe in a negative way. Maybe there's some things that you took through that God taught you about who he was or about who you are. What are some things that those struggles or those pressures that you faced in ways that they have impacted your faith?
So for me, like I said before, I was in a very dark time in my life, and I was falling away from God. I mean, I was getting to the point where I was so two-sided, because I knew what God was calling me to meet. I mean, I've grew up in the church my whole life, and so, you're beating that truth in you your whole life that God forgives you for this. So, I knew it, but I kept trying to reject it, and I didn't ever want to come back. And I got to the point where I'm like, it would just be easier if I just give up on it. It'd just be easier if, how am I going to be able to have a voice, be able to be a light to others when this is how they see me? So you get to the point where, like, it'd just be easier to become the person that I'm becoming, because, people accept you that way. People won't accept you when you're trying to turn your life around. I was too worried about what people were trying to set me instead of what Jesus was calling me to be. So I just kept falling. And, God has a way. I hit rock bottom, and he pulled me out of there. And, he's gave me a complete turnaround. I mean, I still have my struggles, but he's gave me a complete turnaround.
Okay, so something I've always heard and I've always had to tell myself is that doing what's right is not always going to be easy. It's going to be hard. We all face peer pressure to just fit in and to be like everyone else, but God definitely will give us the strength through that. Like, he's so much stronger than anything you're feeling or going through or dealing with, and he gives you the strength to go against the crowd when everyone else is doing something and everyone else is talking a certain way and acting a certain way. He enables us the strength to do that. To go against the crowd and do what's right, even though it's hard.
So for me, around the time that me and Kara started dating, I had some friends who were a year older than me. They're in college now, but we all got girlfriends like the same time. There was like five of us. It's kind of weird, but so they were asking me. They were like, "Are you and Kara gonna like have sex?" I was like, no, I'm trying to be like, man, God calls me to be. I'm trying to be like Jesus. And they were just kind of like, well, that's stupid. I was like, okay. So a few months ago, I was thinking about it, and all of my friends that had girlfriends, they all ended up breaking up. And I was like pretty good friends with all of them, so I knew like about the relationships and stuff. And all of them had built a house on lust, and that was their structure. And eventually, just like I said before, like, it's going to fall. There's no way that it can fulfill itself with no structure. So that just kind of showed me that I was going on the right track, because my relationship was like the only one that survived out of all of my friends. So, yeah.
For me, throughout that time, I learned a lot about God's grace and his commitment to me. And I learned just, and not even his, yes, like, he showed me his grace, like, not only because he's awesome, but through my parents as well. When I finally had the chance to sit down with them and tell them about the things that I had been going through and the things that I had been faced with, they didn't say, oh, well, you're grounded, go to your room. They could have easily been so mad at me, and they could have easily, that could have been the easiest answer for them, because that's their job as my parents, consequences. But they were there, and they loved me through it. And they were there and they reminded me of the things that I could do and, you know, that I am unstoppable through God. But it's like I was constantly reminded of how much I need him in my life. And not only just me, but everybody in this room needs his grace and his love and his mercy. And it truly is unending, and it's a beautiful thing. So,
three of you guys are seniors. You're getting ready to finish in a month. And so you've talked about struggles that you've faced over the last even couple years. What are some things that you have done, maybe some things you've put in place that have helped you as you are introduced to peer pressure now? Like, you know, what are some things maybe even that you can encourage them with, of steps that they could take, things they can put into their life that would help guard them against some of the peer pressure that they're going to face, either now or over the next couple years?
Biggest thing for me is being in the Word. I used to overlook it a lot because, you know, I thought I knew it all, but I didn't. But that Word is so powerful. I mean, in Ephesians, you know, it's called the sword of the Spirit for a reason. It's your tool to fight against the enemy. It's your ammunition. I mean, when you're having a battle, like a one-on-one battle with the enemy, and he's coming at you with everything, and you can pull up Scripture against him, and the fact that you believe in the Bible and you believe what it's saying to be true, it's so much easier to resist the temptation and resist the sin that Satan's trying to hit you with. So the biggest thing for me is just staying in the Bible. I mean, I'm going to fall short, but staying in the Word allows me to grow daily. Like, you know, you just get closer and closer to God every time you're in the Word. You're learning more, just praying that God's making you a sponge to absorb the wisdom that he's trying to impart in you so you can go out and minister to people so that I'll be strong enough to when I go hang out with my group of friends who aren't pursuing Jesus. Because God calls us, you know, I mean, Jesus was a friend of sinners. God calls us to minister to those people. If you're not strong enough to be in that group, then don't let yourself be taken down by them at the time. But when you feel like you're strong enough, go at them, go minister. And that's what God calls us to do. God calls us to make disciples. And sustaining the Word is the biggest thing for me, and that's what's really helping me and what I'm going to continue to do to try to do better.
Off of what Jacob said, most importantly, you have to read the Bible and just spend time in prayer. But another thing, it sounds so cliche, and we hear it all the time, but you become who you hang out with. So definitely find that good support system who can support you and encourage you in your walk with Christ and who can just hold you accountable and keep you in the Word, because your friends really do have a major influence on who you are.
So for like relationships, I would say you can set up like boundaries with your significant other, and also don't try to date people to save someone, like to save that other significant other, because most likely they're going to pull you down. Like, you have to be really strong in your relationship with God or else you're going to fall. Another thing, always, whenever you're hanging out with your significant other, like, always make sure there's, like, a parent or someone there, because, like, if you're there alone with them, there's no one to really, like, hold you accountable, and stuff can go down. So I would just say, keep a parent around, or, like, a guardian or someone like that. And, a perspective that I think about is, one day I'm gonna be, like, a dad, maybe, or right now I have a sister, and I just think, like, I want them to be with someone that's going to pursue them and pursue God at the same time. And I don't want them to be bringing them down or trying to tempt them, because it's easy to fall. So, yep, that's all I got to say about that.
I learned that it's okay to be alone. I mean, it's okay to stay home some nights, and it's okay to set boundaries for yourself, and, you know, between, you know, it's not, God doesn't call us to just, like, abandon people that need us in order to lead them to him, but it's okay to set boundaries and, like I said, stay home and hang out with your mom, watch Netflix, you know, just hang out. I do that a lot of the time, but also, your fear of missing out is not worth losing sight of your values and who you are in God. I promise it's not, because living for him is so much more worth it, and it's so much more awesome. So,
that's good stuff. Hey, give it up for these students. As we close tonight, our hope was that you would be able to maybe identify with some of the pressures that they face, some of the struggles that they dealt with, and whether you can identify with one of them. I think, as I mentioned at the beginning, I think all of us face some form of peer pressure. And so I think as we finish up tonight, just kind of the question that we want to leave with you, that we have to ask ourselves is, should my values be determined by other people or by God? Is it worth, as these guys have done a great job of saying, is it worth allowing other people to influence or even to define or to determine the way that we want to live our life and the priorities and the values that we should have? And wouldn't it be the wisest thing for us to allow God to determine that? For us to allow God to help shape that and not allow other people who maybe we have a relationship with, or maybe we don't even know, but we're allowing them to determine and define who we are or what we're supposed to be. And the challenge is if you wait until you're in those situations to determine that, then you're likely to fall into a lot of those peer pressure and may find that your faith may be compromised in the process. And so I love what Paul says in Ephesians 5, and here's what he commands us. He says, don't participate in the things that those other people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Then in verse 15 he says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I think sometimes we feel like, man, if I say no to that friend, or if I decide not to take part in whatever everyone else is doing, that we feel like we're kind of missing out on something. And yet I love how this version, what Paul is saying here, is he paints such a stark contrast and actually says that we're choosing what's better when we decide not to get mixed up and involve our life in those kind of things. And so when he paints the picture of going, hey, you used to be this way. You used to live in darkness, but now you're children of light. And if you belong to Jesus, if we are followers of him, then God has rescued us out of that and into light. So the best thing that we can do, the wisest thing that we can do, is to live as people of light, to live as the people that God's called us to be, to choose and determine what honors God, and to choose to live that way. And so our prayer for you guys, if you are a follower of Jesus tonight, why we talked about identity at the beginning of this is because our identity should determine how we live. So if we say that our identity is as sons and daughters, as followers of Jesus, then it's so important, so critical for us to live that. There can be nothing greater that we can live for. Maybe you find yourself in the room tonight and you've never taken that step where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. And maybe you find yourself, as Paul says, of living in darkness. And maybe you allow other people to determine what is valuable to you or the way that you should live your life. And the encouragement for all of us tonight is that we don't have to choose that any longer. Is that in the midst of those things that we're pressured by or whatever those temptations are that we may face, that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we can live out our God-given identity and choose the wisest thing, which is to determine what pleases God and to live our lives that way. And so that's our hope as we close up this series, as we close up tonight. And so let's pray together as we finish. God, we love you. God, we thank you for, these students that were bold enough to get up on the stage and talk about their struggles and talk about some of the pressures that they faced and the different ways that that's looked for them. God, I thank you that the consistent thing, even though their struggle may have been different, is that they found and discovered who you've called them to be. And so, God, how powerful is it for us as as followers of you, that we're not missing out when we choose not to take part in those things that it seems like everyone else is taking part in. But God, you've rescued us out of that. You've redeemed us, and you've called us as your sons and your daughters to follow you and to chase after you and to live as people that you have rescued and redeemed and called your own. And so, God, I pray that we would, in everything that we do and whatever temptation we may face and whatever the struggle may be, God, that we would choose to live out our God-given identity and that we would honor you. And in the midst of those pressures, God, that we may choose to honor you in those things. And God, you will equip us to do those things. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.